Tap into the passion and vision of well-known entertainment luminaries with Thinking Out Loud. Go on a journey with unfiltered access to today's media innovators. Hear their strategy for rising above the crowded landscape. Important lessons and valuable wisdom that only comes from real industry experience.
Hello, I'm Vicki Linz, President and CEO of CTAM, a marketing organization focused on the media entertainment technology industry.
And today I'm speaking with Galen Smith, CEO of Redbox. Galen, welcome, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Vicki, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited about the conversation we're about to have. I think Redbox is probably very different today than it has been in the past, and I'm excited for our listeners to learn more about it. But before we dive into Redbox, let's talk a little bit about you. Will you give us a little bit of your background and experience so our listeners have some context for your perspective and all the things we're going to be discussing today?
Happy to. I've been around Redbox for probably the past 14 years. My first introduction to Redbox was as an investment banker. I was at Morgan Stanley and was working on taking Redbox public when it got purchased by Coinstar Inc. and joined them shortly thereafter because I really fell in love with this business and due diligence. So I actually worked for the company for the past 12 years in a number of different roles. For a number of years, I was the CFO of Redbox. Then I became CFO of our public company. We went private in 2016. We sold to Apollo Global Management. At that time, I became CEO. So I've been CEO for just over the past 5 years. And then we just went public in October and trade under the ticker RDBX. And so now I serve as the CEO of the public company.
That's quite a journey. And it's really interesting to me that you come from the finance banking industry. We don't have too many guests who are leading a digital transformation of a legacy media company who come from banking. I think your finance background is of particular interest.
Yeah. So for us, I mean, again, it's been a great asset, understanding kind of the economics and what works for us. I mean, we'll obviously dig into this, but Redbox, in a lot of ways, is a really different business. We serve a very different consumer, almost a hard-to-reach consumer. This is the Walmart customer, the Dollar General customer, the grocery customer. And so, you know, the 20 years that we've been around as a company, we've really built these deep relationships with customers. And so as we think about how are we as that low-cost leader or that value-oriented service able to make this digital pivot, which is so critical to serving these customers. I mean, our customers are unique in that they're these value hunters, but in a lot of ways, they're also the later adopters of technology. And so we've got to find ways to make it very easy, and that finance background has provided some great ways to be able to do that. But obviously, it's not just me alone, Vicki. It's also surrounding yourself with a really talented team of people that know this space inside and out.
Well, and that's obviously a really interesting point, especially when you think about the Redbox business model. And so let's pivot and talk about Redbox for a minute. Tell us what the company looks like today, and if you'd walk us through the different arms of your business, because it does have many, and I'm sure most of our listeners are not aware of some, if not all of them.
Yes. So we have this legacy business, which is really the, you know, kind of what started Redbox out. So today, we still have 40,000 kiosks around the U.S. that serve customers. And for less than $2 a night, you can get those latest new releases at our kiosks. It's a really valuable footprint for us to not only be able to give consumers those latest new releases, but also serves as a way for us to market not only at the kiosk, but also all those digital services that we'll talk about in a second. So that's kind of that core piece of our legacy business. The second piece of our legacy business, which we're really excited about, is Redbox Entertainment. So this is our, think about this as a acquisitions and distribution component or arm of the company. In 2019, we started going out and acquiring North American rights to be able to distribute films. We've got 20 years of history in terms of what works. And it's, you know, certain genres, it's certain actors. And so we look for those opportunities. We pick up those rights for the next 20 or 25 years and we distribute it. And we have a really unique approach. We try to be incredibly talent friendly because it's not just about releasing through Redbox. It's about releasing very broadly. So for instance, you're going to find our movies. We just had a movie released today, The Last Son, starring Sam Worthington, Heather Graham, Coulson Baker, also known as Machine Gun Kelly. That's a new Western. And you're not only going to find it on Redbox, but you're going to find it on every other digital service today as well. So it's going to be on Amazon. It's going to be on iTunes. It's going to be on Vudu. And then we'll look to, you know, have it in the kiosk and then also to bring it to a streaming platform later. So we'll sell off those pay one rights to a streamer where that fits really well in terms of their customers they're trying to serve. So that's kind of a new growth area for us in our legacy business. The third component is our service business. So this is, you know, we've got 1,100 employees around the country that serve our kiosk, the Redbox kiosk. But they also have the ability to take on that service for others. And so one of our former sister companies, EcoATM, we do a lot of service for them. And then one of the things that may not be known by listeners is that, you know, for all the Amazon lockers in the US, if an Amazon locker ever has a technical problem, it's actually the Redbox team that goes and fixes it. So it's pretty exciting in terms of what we can do there. But I'd say that's kind of that the legacy business. It's still a really core part of what we do. But the exciting thing in the transformation of Redbox is really what we've done on our digital reporting side. It started in 2017. We launched a transactional video on demand service. You think about the core business, traditionally it was a transactional service. And so our ability to be able to now provide additional choice and additional convenience to the consumer by giving them this digital option became really key. And we really saw some significant growth starting in 2019 and 2020 and beyond. In 2020, we launched Redbox Free Live TV. So this is an ad-supported linear service. It's all about providing these great fast channels to consumers. And over the past year, we've grown it today. We've got over 125 channels that are available to consumers. You think about the value-conscious consumer that we have, nothing's better than watching content for free. And so our ability to be able to give them that through these linear channels is helpful. In December of last year, we added ad-supported on-demand. So the ability for the consumer to now go pick the content they want to watch and be able to have it paid for by ads. And then one of the things that we've talked about publicly that we're really excited about, developments underway as we speak, is launching a channels platform. So as we were thinking about what's really an opportunity for Redbox and an opportunity for the Redbox customer, it wasn't about launching our own Redbox branded subscription video on demand service. But we do think we have an opportunity to be able to offer that services of others through Redbox to the Redbox customer. So we become a channels business, we become supportive of helping to drive subscribers, helping to reduce churn for other subscription services. And we think, again, we're really well positioned to be able to do that. Again, these are harder to reach consumers. We're reaching them at retail, and we've got the ability to do that. We're really excited about all different components of Redbox today.
I have so many questions. So I'm going to start from the beginning. Let's talk about the legacy business just a little bit before we dive into the future. 40,000 kiosks. Those are important physical touch points with consumers. And you've used the term hard to reach customers a number of times as we've been talking. And so given that you're connecting with hard to reach consumers, how important is the physical kiosk presence to the future business model of Redbox?
I think it's important on a number of levels. We as consumers don't do just one thing. We consume entertainment in a lot of different ways. So it can be, again, going to the kiosk and getting that latest new movie that's not available to me elsewhere. Or frankly, maybe I can't afford to pay $5.99 or $6.99 for a video rental. And instead, it's, you know, it's easier for me to grab a standard definition copy for $1.85. So that's a really core part for a lot of our consumers. It's providing access to movies that they wouldn't otherwise have or be able to afford. So I think that becomes really key. But I think one of the things that's interesting is our ability to now help those consumers find other ways to engage in entertainment through Redbox. We've got a couple of powerful tools that kiosk as an advertiser becomes really, really helpful. It is something where, you know, one of the things, if you go and transact today, you'll see in our checkout flow that we give you an opportunity to learn more about our free live TV service. So we ask for your permission to be able to email you and tell you more, and then we can educate you on both how to access it and what the value of it is. And so the kiosk becomes a great conduit for educating consumers. The other piece of that is we built the capability to be able to try a subscription right in checkout flow. So you've got your movie, you can't wait to watch it tonight, but what if I can also offer you a 7-day free trial of the streaming service right at the point of purchase? And then once you're done, send you an email and allow you to help figure out how to sign up, go through the sign up process. It becomes a really kind of seamless experience for the consumer. It takes away a lot of friction. And I'm not exactly sure if there was an easy way to reach that customer otherwise. So I think that becomes key. One of the other things that we're doing, and starting today with some of the indoor kiosks that we have, is we're installing these screens on top of 4,000 kiosks. Today, we're at about 2,000. We're continuing to add more. And about 2/3 of it is talking about the business. So what new movies are there? What other services does Redbox have? The other third is actually CPG advertisement. So hitting the consumer with a pertinent ad right at the point of sale is valuable not only to us, but also to our retail partners. We think that the kiosk will continue to be a key part of what we do, but importantly, it's not the only part. And it becomes something where we're very focused on the multi-product offering. So if you think about between physical and digital, once we're done building the subscription channels platform, we can offer the consumer more choice than anyone else.
Now, your consumers are typically later adopters of technology. So what does it look like for Redbox to try to shepherd them from the physical DVD, Blu-ray environment into the digital streaming environment?
I think part of it is a lot of education. I think you learn it over time, and sometimes using technology can be a bit daunting. We want to help make it as easy as possible. We've been able to really help to kind of bring that customer along in that customer journey and educate them again, how to use their devices. How do you find the Redbox app? What options are in there? And we're constantly thinking about how do we have a simplified experience? I mean, one of the things that's really frustrating today that's really come from the proliferation of all these different services is that customer friction you have of going into an app, trying to find something to watch, not finding anything that you want to see, and then having to go to that next app to go try to find something else. And you can spend 20 to 30 minutes looking for that particular piece of content you're hoping to watch that night. We want to get rid of all that. So we're very focused in terms of the digital experience on creating simplicity. So can we have everything in one place from the latest new movies on demand to free live TV channels to ad support on demand and then these subscription channels all in one place? So having that single pane of glass as opposed to going to different apps for different experiences becomes really challenging. I think our focus on really creating a seamless customer experience, an easier, simplified customer experience, is key to making sure that we can help these later adopters make that shift as they do.
And you referenced earlier that the aspiration really isn't to become a premier standalone SVOD service. It's really a complement service. So explain a little bit how this fits into not just your existing customers' lives, but maybe the future focus of other customers' lives as well.
I mean, we see ourselves as a really strong retailer or distributor of IP or content. And we think that there's a way for us to not only be able to do that as we've done historically on the physical side, but to do it on the digital side. And so it didn't make sense for us to get into some kind of content arms race when you're going up against an Apple or an Amazon. you're going to lose. What we know that we can be is, again, a really great distributor of content for others. You know, we do think we've got, you know, 40 million customers that we can serve very well. But I do think there's an opportunity for us, particularly for, again, that value conscious customer. I mean, one of the things I haven't mentioned yet that I think is a key differentiator for Redbox is we built this really powerful loyalty program. So it's our
Redbox. I was just about to ask.
Perfect. You beat me to it. So our Redbox Perks program, we've got 39 million plus members of this loyalty program. And it gives us the ability to reward customers to try different things. So
wait a minute, Galen, let me stop you there for a second. Are you telling me that you have nearly 40 million loyal customers, but you've got most of them who are actually actively engaged in your loyalty program?
Yeah, 39 million, they may not be completely active today, but we've got 39 million members of the program and it continues to grow.
That's a really impressive number from your base.
Well, what's interesting, Vicky, I think even more impressive is in 2016, when we went private, we had 5 million members of our loyalty program. You've worked really, really hard to be able to build that out. And again, part of it is to get someone to try something new. Maybe it's using transactional video on demand for the first time, or maybe it's trying Redbox Free Live TV. Our ability to reward them with points to then consume on more content becomes, again, this differentiator and driver of value to be able to do that. And so we try to be really intentional with how we use that. And so we've got that. We've got nights at the kiosk we can make available. So there's a great opportunity to help, again, move this customer over time to our digital services.
Now, how does the loyalty program work? Do you actually reward people for watching movies?
We do. So anytime that you rent, whether it be physically or digitally, you're earning points. And then again, you're able to use that on the consumption of other content. And then we'll do other things, other pieces of promotion where we just are wrapping up a winter spin game. So, you know, just similar to what you might experience from a Starbucks rewards program, we do something a couple times a year for different behaviors. So you may get extra points. You may get points for watching a trailer. You may get points for watching a Redbox entertainment title. There's all things that we can, you know, try to do, or trying a subscription for an SVOD service. There's things that we can do to really, again, get a customer to try something differently than they may historically have done. And it helps to create this greater value. So again, if you're the 71% of our customers that identify as a deal hunter, we can help serve that for you.
So are you also then crafting a Redbox community? Are people sharing reviews, comments, or are you connecting people to the content in a community sense?
I think on some level we are today. I mean, you know, regular customers review different movies and they're brutally honest about what they think about various movies. And so those are, you know, available on our title detail pages for consumers to read. But I think there's probably a broader opportunity for us to be able to do that, to continue to pull those together. It's a little challenging in certain respects in terms of some of the regulations and rules around content and what you can do. There's a number of pieces in place to protect the consumer, but I think there's probably a greater opportunity for us to build that social connection between different users. We use our social platforms to do that today, but I think there's even this greater sense in terms of belonging to the Redbox community that we can continue to create.
You talked a little bit about the new content that is coming out of Redbox Entertainment. That's a whole other different area for the company to be getting into. I know the aspiration isn't for you to compete with Amazon and Apple, but how do you go about deciding to get into the content business? And how do you go about making the economics of that work when you're not really going to throw all that money into scale? What's the niche value proposition that makes that make sense?
So as I mentioned in the description, one of the things that really works for Redbox is we know what works for the Redbox customer. And in a lot of ways, the way that I think about the Redbox customer is we represent America. And because of that, if it's going to work for Redbox, it's going to work on someone else's platform. So we start with project, a script, most of what we're doing, pre-buying. These are movies that are going to likely be on a few theatrical screens, maybe a couple hundred screens, but probably not a broad theatrical release. But we know it's going to, again, have talent that consumers are going to be really interested in. What we do is we, like I said, take it very broadly. So it's not just on the Redbox platform. We don't need it to just work there. But I do think it gives us a very unique advantage over other distributors of direct-to-video content, because we do have built-in distribution through Redbox kiosks, through Redbox On Demand. What we really want to do is build to about 36 movies per year. We're primarily focused on movies as opposed to series because they work for the Redbox experience. We're known for movies as an entertainment brand. And so we've really started to build that muscle. We've done a number of slate deals where producers are interested in working with us because of our reach and our ability to, because we don't have our own subscription video on demand services we've talked about, it does give us an opportunity to license that. So one of the downsides for talent is if you do a movie, just goes to a streamer, you're limited by only those subscribers of that streamer seeing your art. What we want to do is make sure that art is seen by as many people as possible. So it's going to be out there broadly, a digital transaction. It's going to be broadly out there through Redbox, and it's going to be on a streaming service as well. And then it's going to move into other windows like ad supported, where it may be on other people's services. So we tend to be very flexible in terms of that. We're not making necessarily these massive big bets, but we do think there's an opportunity for us to work with talented folks. So for instance, we've got a label that we've created with Basil Iwanek. He's a producer on the John Wick series. We created this label with him called Asbury Park. The goal is to make 10 to 12 action movies over the next couple of years, and really following that Blumhouse model where, you know, you do it cheaply and then there's opportunity for big back end for talent. And so we're taking delivery right now of the first movie that we've done under that label. It's a movie called Black Sight. We're really excited to be able to bring it to consumers next year.
Now, when you release that, is that an exclusive release through Redbox that then has a window that opens, or is it a simultaneous release? What does that look like?
That's the beauty of us doing our releases. We think that, again, we have a differentiated customer base. And so we don't see it as competitive for us to be releasing on an Amazon or an iTunes at the same time we were releasing it through a Redbox On Demand. So as I mentioned, The Last Sun came out today, December 10th. And because of that, it's available everywhere. So you can go to any number of different services, your preferred service, and you're able to find that Redbox Entertainment title.
Now, you also mentioned being very talent friendly. So can you talk to us a little bit about the creative environment and what you mean by being talent friendly in your approach to developing content?
Yeah, I mean, probably this gets back to your question about having someone from finance run a business like this. For us, we like making money. We also like being in the broad distribution business. So for us to try to ensure that as many people as possible see this great piece of IP that's created, we want to make it available broadly. And that's our distribution plan. Because it's available everywhere, right? The most amount of people are going to be able to see this movie that you've spent time, whether it be producer, director, actor, you're going to see, you know, many people seeing that. And that's kind of encouraging. The other piece is because, again, we like making money. It's all about, you know, how do we help do that? And how do we help that talent be rewarded for what we're doing in terms of the back-end participation that they have? And so, again, we become both someone's going to see my movie and I'm financially incented to be able to do this. And obviously, there's a lot of noise today in the world about just those financial incentives. We think that we've got a model through how we go about distributing that works to maximize what that return's going to be for the producer and the talent.
And then if I'm correct, you're also using your kiosks to market this content and promote it as well. So you're hoping to help drive eyeballs to this content? Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, we bring all of our marketing assets to bear. So it's not just our kiosk, but obviously it's going to be there. It's going to be across our digital service. It's going to be on social. We're going to have a regular go-to-market. So there's a dedicated Last Sun webpage that we've created that's all about this movie that we're releasing because, again, we want to see it. We do screenings. We release it in movie theaters. We help support talent to going on late night TV and helping them to promote the movies. We kind of bring the full marketing engine of Redbox behind every movie. We believe in the projects that we're bringing on.
I think just that point will be news to our listeners. I'm not sure that the typical executive in the media industry thinks of Redbox as having much of a marketing engine, and certainly not as being very engaged in the content development part of the business. I think the business has evolved way past what people recognize. So you're building a lot of momentum now. And I think that people might be surprised by that because they just haven't quite caught up. I mean, clearly you've brought your customers along on this journey, but I'm not sure the business has followed you along too closely, at least within the industry. So I find so much of this to be really, really interesting and new insights coming from a company like Redbox that's been so deeply entrenched in a legacy business for so long.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I take responsibility for this in terms of probably a miss is we were a public company. I was a public company CFO when we sold the business to Apollo. And we were used to being kind of on the forefront in terms of talking about our business from a PR perspective. And when we went private, we came a bit more insulated. Now, we were behind the scenes doing a lot of stuff in terms of building out this digital opportunity, this digital vision that we have, but we may not have been talking about it as broadly. And so part of what's been great about this take public that we've gone through is the ability to go tell our story. And I do think, again, we sit very uniquely. And a lot of executives may even think like, all right, is this still happening? Are people still renting at the kiosk? And the answer is yes. But it's also these deep relationships we built with these customers where they trust us. They believe in us. They know that we know what they love and can recommend the right movie for them. And so we know that they love Westerns. And so we can help them discover a Redbox Entertainment title when we release it. Or we know that they love comedies or action movies. I think there has been this really strong pivot in the business. And now is kind of our time to be able to come talk about it and really see Redbox in a different light than maybe an executive may have seen it in the past.
You've got deep relationships with your customers, but you've also built some really interesting relationships with partners. And you're looking at accelerating your expansion through partnerships. So could you talk to us a little bit, you know, Warner Media, Fremantle, Sony, you mentioned earlier, Amazon Lockers. I mean, you've got a lot of different business partnerships in the works. What does some of that look like?
We had to win over studios over time, and I think we've done that. We were assumed early on, Vicky, as being a threat to the traditional sell-through business. And I think over time, we helped everyone understand that this is a different occasion. Like a rental is a different occasion than it may be in terms of buying a physical movie. Over time, we started to do that. Then they saw, I think we've been able to help convince them that we've got this, again, unique customer base. And we're, again, perfectly positioned to be able to help them reach that with their content. As you've seen this massive explosion in ad-supported on-demand or FAST channels, again, our ability to come in and be able to help serve that up to our customer becomes another revenue stream. So interestingly, Lionsgate, Legendary Entertainment, Basil, Awanek, all were investors in our PIPE process, in our IPO that we just did. They put capital to work in our business because they believe in it. Then obviously, as you mentioned, partnering with Warner to bring in their content or Sony to bring in their content, we really want to have this incredible content that they have available. It's a little bit, you know, obviously longer tail on the ad-supported side, but it's stuff that is very nostalgic, like watching something that you watched a number of years ago and watching it again, and you don't have to pay for it. It's done with ads. It's really enticing to that customer. It's almost like turning on a TBS or a TNT and seeing what's on. You can do that right in our service. And we try to make that, again, as easy as possible. So that's been great. Or again, because of the different assets that we have, we can look at partnering with a Velocity to do these screens on top of our kiosk to be able to advertise, or work with an Amazon because I think we can provide best in service or best in class service to their kiosk as they may have one that breaks down. We can be there to fix it and take care of it because we have such a talented team that works for us on our kiosk. I love all the different opportunities that we have to be able to partner across different verticals of Redbox.
It's been a real pleasure talking to you, Galen. And I'll wrap with one broad question of, you know, is there anything else you want us to know or one final thought you'd like to leave us with?
I'm really excited to have this opportunity, Vicky, to be a part of this. I mean, again, I think you got at this earlier. It is this transformation of Redbox. The Redbox that people may know is not the Redbox of today, nor the Redbox of tomorrow. We look forward to continue to explore partnerships, probably with your listeners, as we continue to build this out. I mean, we provide this unique opportunity to be able to reach this customer that's this value-conscious customer that others aren't going after. And we can't wait to see what the years ahead provide for us. So looking forward to staying in touch as we go forward.
Galen, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much. And I'm personally excited about what's next, and we'll keep an eye on Redbox to see what happens.
Great. Thank you.
Hope you found this Thinking Out Loud conversation interesting and perhaps even thought-provoking. There are more on the way. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review.